Each year, the federal government recognizes one or two new Indian tribes. It's a prize designation. 200 groups are standing in line. That's partly because recognition means the prospect of millions, even billions of dollars in gambling revenues. But it's a slow and difficult process. In Western Connecticut, one group has been seeking recognition for decades. They're called the Scaticook Tribal Nation.
This is all reservation to both sides of us. Again, the right going to New York and the left going to the Housatonic River as our boundary lines.
Richard Velke is chief of the Scaticooks, whose small 400-acre reservation is nestled in this lovely wooded river valley.
To the left, right about here is where our old burial ground had begun, was at one time. That was before 1903 when they built a dam down here and never took our remains out.
So the burial ground is now under this reservoir?
Yes, it is. I want to pull in here.
The Scaticook Nation is a small tribe. There are only about 300 people on the tribal rolls. They claim to be descendants of a tribe that lived on this land at the time of first contact with Europeans in the late 1600s.
This is not a ceremonial piece, right? This is just to use for workshops that I do because it's handled by everybody. Traditionally, this wouldn't be handled by everybody.
A small group of Scaticooks, including Butch Lydon, has gathered at their tribal office, a small wooden structure that looks like a picnic shelter. On a wooden table, old photos of tribal members in regalia are on display, along with cultural objects. These days, most Americans probably assume that any group seeking federal recognition as an Indian tribe must be motivated by the prospect of opening a casino, a right the tribes received when the Indian Gaming Act passed in the 1980s. But Chief Velke, Butch Lydon, and tribal historian Paulette Crone Morange say that's not the case.
Scaticook Tribe was the first tribe in Connecticut to put in for federal recognition back in 1936, long before a casino was ever heard of.
You see what we have here? We have a reservation that don't have their people living on it. We want our tribal members to move back to their land and practice their culture and their heritage. And schooling is very important. Housing is very important. Health and wealth care for all tribal members, but mainly today for our elders.
And you're saying that the federal government would provide programs for housing, for health, and those sorts of things?
Yes, they would.
I think what's happened today is that the people that are fighting against us on federal recognition have got the issues confused. They're going against us because of casinos. It has nothing to do with casinos.
Anyone who wants to be recognized as a tribe must meet seven criteria set by the federal government. The group must have a long history as a distinct community with political leadership and membership requirements. It must have been recognized as a tribe for all of the last century by some outside entity. The group cannot be composed primarily of members of other tribes, and it can't be a group whose recognition has been terminated by legislation. Chief Velke argues the Scaticooks meet all those tests, but he says as recently as the mid-1900s, Connecticut state officials, called overseers, seemed to be trying to destroy the tribal community.
When a tribal member would pass away, they would empty the house and then they would call for a fire drill, okay? And the volunteer fire departments would come in and they would burn the houses down. We even have letters dating back as recently as in 1960, where they thanked the state for the fire drill because, you know, their boys learned a lot. But we lost another house. We lost another resident.
Did they burn them down without the permission of the family that owned them?
They didn't have to get permission. See, they were our overseers. Whatever they said was the gospel. And little by little, there was nobody left on this reservation.
State overseers didn't always have the interests of the Scaticooks at heart, but Connecticut's recognition of the tribe, which extends back to colonial times, is critical to the tribe's effort to gain federal status. Still, it's been a painfully slow process. For decades, financing the legal work was an obstacle. That hurdle was overcome after the Indian Gaming Act passed and financial backers appeared, willing to support the effort in hopes of sharing in future gaming profits. Even with financial backing, the Scaticook claim was languishing until a court decision last year involving the Appalachian Trail. The trail cuts through Scaticook land. There's an access point just off the only road running through the reservation.
Let's walk up in here just a little ways.
Sure.
This trail that we're walking on is the Appalachian Trail.
That's correct. At this here point, the trail will go up into the mountain, into New York, run across the back side of the mountain, and then back down at the northern end of the reservation onto the reservation.
In 1985, the National Park Service seized Scaticoke land to widen the trail. The tribe sued to block the action. When the tribe's status became an issue in that suit, a federal judge ordered the Bureau of Indian Affairs to expedite the recognition process so the suit could be settled. The BIA's decision is expected soon, but it's been a long wait.
We've been fighting this for decades and not moving an inch in our status. We're still would have been number 24 on a waiting for active list that hasn't moved at all. We would be looking at a sentence of at least 30 years today if we were not being sued by the United States government for the Appalachian Trail.
The Scaticoke face other hurdles too. Powerful opponents want to stop their drive for recognition. They include Connecticut's governor and attorney general and the government leaders of Kent, the town just across the river from the reservation. Paulette Crone Moran suggests part of the town's problem is prejudice.
Because Scaticoke has always been considered a distinct and separate entity, we are a threat to the town. You have very prestigious, very well-to-do people that reside on the outskirts of this town. And I think because Native Americans have always been looked down as a lower class individual, we might make something look bad in their wonderful community. I think there is a fear.
This isn't that kind of community.
Dolores Scheisel, who heads Kent's town government, sits at her desk in the town office less than a mile from the reservation.
In fact, initially, it was a little difficult for me to get people interested in taking on this litigation because they were confused that we were doing something against our neighbors.
Kent is a quaint New England village with a quiet main street and lovely old homes. The reservation sits inside the broad boundaries of the town of Kent, and the Scaticokes have filed suit claiming rights to land owned by a private school in the town. Scheisel fears recognition could bring a casino and change Kent's character dramatically.
It's impossible to talk about this subject and not talk about gaming. If they were a tribe and if they were to put a casino in Kent, the impact would be unfathomable. This would not be the town that it is. It's a town of 2,800 people. We don't even have a police force. We have a volunteer fire department and a volunteer ambulance squad. We don't have lights at night. We hardly have any noise at night. We are really pretty remote in many ways, and it would be an entirely different if to have a 24-hour-a-day gaming facility in this town.
Is this the main reason that the town opposes recognition of this tribe?
Honestly, I think that we have phrased the question so it really isn't just about the casino, because I think that the people in this town also realize that it's the presence of a sovereign nation in your boundaries that sovereign nation doesn't have to look at our zoning. They don't have to work with our Inland Wetlands Commission. They don't have to abide by these laws that we have all come to accept.
Chief Velke has told residents of Kent that it is not the Scaticoke's intention to bring gaming to the town. Because of its remote location, it's a poor place for a casino, he says. The tribe is exploring possibilities in larger communities in the region, but sentiment against gaming seems to be growing among public officials, from local mayors to Connecticut senators, who've proposed a federal moratorium on recognizing new tribes. Across the state, on the eastern edge of Connecticut, the benefits of recognition are on glittering display. This is the Mohegan Sun Casino. The Mohegan Tribal Nation gained recognition in 1994 and opened the first phase of this casino in 1996. The Mohegans claim that their $1.5 billion complex, with its striking 32-story silver hotel rising from its center, is the second largest casino in the world. Mohegan Tribal Chairman Mark Brown begins our tour in the lobby.
One thing that we wanted to make sure we did with this was to make sure when somebody walked in, they knew this was a Native American casino. It wasn't just a stereotype casino. What we have here is the thematic elements are basically depicting a longhouse, in a sense, with all the birch bark all around the outside.
So can you take us into one of the casinos and just
we'll take a walk down.
Give us a quick tour? We walk along a mezzanine lined by retail stores and restaurants. Dividing the two gaming floors below is a giant waterfall that looks like it's been carved from a mountain.
Then right here you can see the retail corridor going past one of two Michael Jordan restaurants right now. And then we can head down one of the escalators to the main floor.
On the gaming floor, dealers flip cards at the blackjack tables, and gamblers stuff quarters into more than 6,000 slot machines. The tax revenue from the slots alone produces more than $100 million annually for the state of Connecticut. And annual revenue for the complex reportedly approaches $1 billion. Back in his office, Brown says money from the casino has allowed the Mohegans to revive their language as well as, among other things, provide education for tribal members.
Every tribal member can go to college that wishes to. If the schools in their area does not provide the proper education from, say, grammar school on up, they can go to private schools. We have also been able to take care of our elderly with revenues. It's provided a lot of securities that were once not there.
How about in terms of incomes? Do individual members of the tribe benefit in terms of their annual income from the revenues of the casino?
Unfortunately, we don't release that information. It's not what probably people imagine. The first goal of this tribe right now is to pay down the debt on this facility.
So you're saying basically that for most members of the tribe, the increase in income from the revenue at the casino has not really changed their life materially?
I would say for most of them, it's icing on the cake. Maybe you can go do something you normally wouldn't have done, but it's not in any way something they're going to just live on and not work.
You don't have 1,300 millionaires as a result of this?
Absolutely not. I don't think we have one millionaire.
Back in Western Connecticut, the Scaticokes are still waiting and hoping. While he believes his tribe will be recognized, Chief Velke says whatever the BIA's judgment, the Scaticokes will not change their view of themselves.
What happens if the BIA does not approve your petition and you're not designated a national tribe?
We'll find that hard to believe to begin with, let me just say that. But if you want to know what would we do in the downsides of it and it'd be a negative, we'll just keep going on being Scaticook. Again, that not being federally recognized will not take the blood out of our veins. We are still Scaticooks. We still belong to this land and we'll continue to be up here.
Richard Velke, chief of the Scaticoke Tribal Nation. A decision on the tribe's federal recognition is expected within a few weeks.